Well, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in Colossians chapter 3. We are finishing out this morning a series where we have done a deep dive on Colossians chapter 3. The series title has been Me, We, Us. We've been talking about what it looks like to be engaged in relationships. How do we do that from a biblical framework? And so the very first week, if you'll remember, we walked through the first 17 verses of Colossians chapter 3, and we talked about what it looks like for us as followers of Jesus to be a new person because of what Christ has done in our lives. We said that for us to understand relationships from God's perspective, how we are to engage in them, we must first recognize the transformation that Jesus Christ has brought about in our lives. We have to understand that we are no longer who we used to be, but we are a new creation in Christ, and that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in us, transforming us to look more and more like Jesus every single day. Here's the reality. We desperately need that work going on in our lives if we are going to live as God intends for us to live in relationships. Week 2, if you remember, we looked at verses 18 through verse 19. We talked about the relationship between wives and husbands, that it mirrors the relationship between Christ and His church. We talked about that. We looked last week, Pastor Cody walked us through verses 20 through 21, children and parents. How does that relationship look from a biblical framework? And so this morning, we're going to finish out chapter 3 in the book of Colossians. We're going to look at what it means for us as followers of Jesus in this culture in which we live to make a difference in this world. It is vital for us to recognize and understand that God desires to use us in this world to shine the light of the gospel to a people who are far from Him. I want you to know, as we read the text this morning, we're going to dive into something that was very popular at this point in time in Roman culture. You have to understand and remember that Paul is writing to a specific group of believers in a specific place. And here's what you need to know about Roman culture at this point in time, that slavery was the currency of the day. In fact, as you look back in history, what you realize is that somewhere around 50%, if not pushing closer to 75% of people within Roman rule were slaves at this point, or they were indentured servants. And so this is the context in which Paul is writing to. Now, here's what you need to understand as well. Paul, in other places, writing about this situation that believers found themselves in, reminds them of the fact that regardless of whether you were a slave or you were a master, if you are a follower of Jesus, you must look at your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, recognizing that they too have been created in the very image of God. And in fact, what you realize as you move forward in history is that people like William Wilberforce in the UK and then Abraham Lincoln and the abolitionists here in this country, that they would use what Paul is writing, the fact that all of us are created equal in the image of God, to argue against slavery. And here's the reality, apart from the truth of God's word, there's no reason to make that argument. And yet that's exactly what we see happening as history moves forward. And so here, recognize, understand that Paul is writing to believers in this culture where slavery was the currency of the day. And how are they, as followers of Jesus, regardless of where they find themselves, either as a slave or as a bondservant or as a master, how do they engage as a follower of Jesus in this culture? And this morning for us, I want us to ask that same question. As we think about this, what's the best connection for us in this world in which we live? And I think it is in the employee-employer relationship. And so we're going to make some parallels, some connections in that as we walk through the text this morning. But let's look, beginning in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, at what God's word says. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and your spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. As you take notes this morning, I would encourage you to write down this main idea. It'll frame our time together in these verses. It's this truth: never forget your vocation is a platform for God to accomplish his mission. Never forget that your vocation is a platform for God to accomplish his mission. Well, what do we mean by vocation? Well, that is the work that you do. Which, if you're here this morning and you have a job, that's what I'm talking about. Your responsibility as a follower of Jesus in this vocation is to use it as a mission field for God to use you to reach people with the gospel. That's why God has placed you where you are. You may be sitting here this morning, you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a job because I'm a student. I'm still in school. Well, guess what? As I tell my girls who are in school, school is your job. And they're like, but we're not getting paid to do that. And I said, yes, you are getting paid to do that. You have shelter over your head, you have food to eat, and we pay taxes. Amen? We are paying for you to be there. And here's the thing, students, that is your vocation in this season in your life, and it is the greatest mission field where God can use you to reach people with the gospel. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, but hang on, Pastor. I've reached that magical age, and praise the Lord, I have retired, right? So I don't have a vocation anymore. Here's the problem with that. I know Pastor Cody hurt your feelings last week as grandparents talking to you. I understand that, and I got the emails. It's fine. You can send these to him this week, though, okay? Retirement is not in the Bible. I knew somebody was going to say ouch in that. Now, here's the thing. You may think, okay, well, then do I have to go back to work now? Is that what you're telling me? No, here's what I'm telling you, that we were created according to what God's word tells us, Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3, we were created to work. We were created to use the gifts that God has given us in some capacity to benefit the world in which we live, to subdue it, to be a part of the creation mandate that God gave us. So here's the thing. If you are retired and you have enough money coming in where you don't have to go to a job and actually work to gain income, here's the thing. You are your own boss, but you need to be doing something to serve the Lord and his kingdom. If you don't, you're going to lose sight of what God has called you to do. You don't retire and ride off into the sunset and pick up seashells by the beach. You serve in some capacity the Lord in this world in which He has placed you. Here's the good news. You don't need the money. So use your time, use your gifts, use your abilities to serve the Lord in some capacity. Here's the thing. When we think about this statement, never forget your vocation is a platform for God to accomplish His mission. We spend at least 8 hours a day working on average. And so as we are working, we are interacting with people, often people who don't know Jesus. And we have to view that opportunity as an opportunity for us as followers of Jesus to live before them in such a way that it draws them to Jesus and their desperate need for Him. As we think through that, I want to speak to us this morning in two camps. That's the way that, as you'll see, Paul is going to break down this. Verses 22 and going down through verse 25, he's going to speak to bond servants or slaves in this culture. I think the best connection for us is employees in our current context. And so you're going to see that he's going to speak to you in this situation. So if you work for someone, if you're a student at school, if you are serving in some capacity, this is you this morning that he is speaking to. Notice what he says in verse 22. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters. In fact, as you look, you're going to see, we're going to fill out this hierarchy of relationships that's going on in the text. You'll see God is at the top of that. Masters is there, or employers, and then bondservants or employees. You're going to see a lot of arrows moving around this morning, but hopefully visually this will give you the picture of what Paul is describing here. So first, bondservants, obey your earthly masters or your employers. If you are an employee, you are to do what your employer tells you to do. Are there limits? Well, of course, if it's unethical, if it's unbiblical, if it goes against what God says, of course, you are not to do that. But outside of that, your responsibility as an employee is to obey, to do what your employer says you are to do. That's what Paul says here to bondservants. Notice, though, he describes the way in which that should be done. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. I want you to recognize this. Paul says in this moment, as you are obeying, as you are working, as you are serving, in this instance, your employer, you are to do it in such a way that you're not just working when they're watching you. Hello. But you're actually serving out of sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Like, there is an aspect of this where this comes from within. This is not just, well, my job is this, and I have to do this, and they're checking up on me if I do this. It's saying, no, Paul's saying, no, that's not the way you approach work. You approach work in the sense of, from sincerity of heart, you are serving your employer. This is not just duty. This, Paul says, should be delight. I've explained this to you in certain ways before, but one of those is, husbands, if you come home one day with a bouquet of flowers and you hand them to your wife and she says, wow, that was so thoughtful, that was so sweet, and you say to her, well, it's my duty. How's that going to work out for you? Not very well. And here, that's exactly what Paul is saying to you as an employee. If you are simply doing your job as a duty, I've got to go to work, I've got to do this, I really hate my boss, but I have to work in this way. Don't say amen, Pastor Scott, right? but this is my job, got to do it. No, this Paul says, is the responsibility of followers of Jesus to look at this opportunity to serve those that God has called us to serve, that it comes from sincerity of heart. Notice that Paul is going to up the ante on this in just a second. Notice, beginning in verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily, watch this, as for the Lord and not for men. You see what happened here on the illustration? First, it was bondservants, obey your masters, right? That was where it began. Now Paul is going to bring it to a little bit more important recognition. And he says, bondservants, recognize that you ultimately are serving the Lord. Recognize if you're an employee, your ultimate boss is God. He has placed you where he wants you to be, and you are to serve not just those that you are working for, but ultimately you are called to serve the Lord. That is your responsibility. In fact, notice as he describes this, he says, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Notice beginning in verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Notice that another arrow has come into the picture. That bondservants, you are serving your masters, but you are also serving God, and recognize that God has a say in your life as you are serving those that God has called you to serve. In fact, notice that Paul says, the Lord will repay you for your service. And in verse 25, the wrongdoer, that is the one who's not doing what they're supposed to, will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. So recognize this morning that as a follower of Jesus, if you find yourself in that situation as an employee, the Lord says to you, this is how you are to engage in that relationship. If you are a student this morning, this too is your responsibility as you engage in this relationship that you have with your teachers and those who are in authority over you. This is your responsibility, that you are to do what they tell you to do, and recognizing that as you do that, you are ultimately serving the Lord, and the Lord will reward you in accordance to your obedience to Him and to His Word. Here's some questions I think that may be helpful for us to think through, just practically speaking. Question number one. There's a lot of yous here, but you'll understand what I'm saying. If you hired you, would you be happy having you as an employee? Think about that. Some of you are like, you hire what? No, if you were the boss and you hired yourself, would that be a bad hire? Let's be honest. I think it's helpful for us as followers of Jesus to ask that question, because for us, Paul says here, we as followers of Jesus, because of what Christ has done in our lives, should be the best employees on the planet. Why? Because we're ultimately not serving the person that is employing us. We are ultimately serving the Lord Jesus. And He deserves every aspect of our being and our life, and we should serve Him with all that is within us. Here's question number two. Do you work differently if you know someone is watching? Do you work differently if you know someone is watching? If they're not watching, you're surfing Facebook. If they're not watching, you're not working quite as hard. You're not having to punch the clock. Maybe you work from home and you think, well, I could work 2 hours and play 2 hours and bill for 4 hours. But if someone is watching, you work differently. And here's the thing. Why is that question so important? Because here's the perspective for us as followers of Jesus. He is watching. There's never a moment of our day that the Lord is not watching us. And if ultimately we are serving Him, first and foremost, we have to recognize even if the person who is hiring us to do a job is not watching us, Jesus is, and we are ultimately serving Him. Question number three. And maybe most crucially, does the way you work draw people to Jesus or push them away? Does the way you work draw people to Jesus or does it push them away? Recognize that where you work is a mission field where God desires to use you to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the way you work in that environment will either draw people to Jesus or it will push them away from Jesus. Paul continues in verse 1 of chapter 4. The attention turns to the masters or the employers. You're going to see once again that Paul is going to address this relationship in culture. He's going to give us perspective as well. He says, "Masters, treat your bond servants justly and fairly." Justly and fairly. In fact, as you look, masters have a responsibility to those who are working for them to treat them, Paul says, justly and fairly. And so if you are an employer, you're the boss, is that the way you treat those that work for you? Recognize that as a follower of Jesus, the way you treat your employees, the way you treat those who are working for you, says something to them about what you believe about your responsibility to follow Jesus in this role. Do you engage fairly and justly with those who are working for you? Here's the trump card for Paul, the follow-up to that, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Recognize this relationship is a reciprocal relationship. Once again, masters to bondservants to masters. But ultimately recognize that Paul says both who are followers of Jesus ultimately will have to answer to God for what they're doing. And so recognize that if you are an employer, if you are the boss, you will give an account to the Lord for how you treated those that work for you. So some practical questions for you to think through this morning. Number one, if you were your boss, would you be happy working for you? Think about that. If you are the boss, if you had you as a boss, would that be a miserable experience? If so, recognize as a follower of Jesus, it should not be that way. You say, hang on, you don't understand. My employees are dumb. They just don't get it. Let me just press in just a bit. You hired them. Which means if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing and you hired them, you have a responsibility to train them to do the job that you've called them to do, to hold them accountable to that, and if they don't do it, to say the Lord desires for you to go somewhere else and work, right? That's your role, though. Here's question number two. Are you just and fair with your employees? Think about this. If you were to have someone outside come in and there were no repercussions for the answers that were given, and your employees were surveyed on what they think about the way that you treat them, would they say, you know, my boss is just and fair with me? This is a great place to work. Or would it be the opposite of that? And most crucially, number three, does the way you manage your employees draw people to Jesus or push them away? Does the way you manage your employees draw people to Jesus or push them away? Recognize this morning that the relationship that Paul is discussing here, this relationship most connected to our employee-employer relationship, recognize that that is simply a microcosm of the way we are to engage in this world in which we live as followers of Jesus. Remember, our ultimate mission is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this relationship is one of the most important that all of us will engage in our lives. It's where we will spend the vast majority of our time outside of time with our spouse and time with our kids. Will be time with those we either work for or who work for us. And recognize that God's desire in that relationship is for us as followers of Jesus to make a maximum impact for His glory. I want to ask you if you'd bow your heads with me this morning. As our worship team comes up, and this morning, as we do at the end of each month, we'll celebrate communion together. But I want to give us just a few moments before that to simply reflect on the truth of God's word this morning, to reflect on those practical questions, to think about the calling that God has placed on our lives, to make an impact as followers of Jesus in this culture in which we live. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we're thankful that we can see your heart and desire to use us in this world in which you've called us to live, to make an impact for your glory, for your name. So God, wherever we find ourselves, as an employee or as an employer, as a student, as someone who's retired in this world in which we live, God, help us to see that you have given us a platform to make an impact for your name in this world. God, may we be faithful through the power of the Holy Spirit at work transforming us to make an impact in this world in which we live. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments with heads bowed to prepare to receive communion together as those elements are passed out this morning.